Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates, and it is Holy Monday, April 14th. It is time to check in with Dr. Bob Weiss from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Good morning to you and your listeners. Blessed Holy Monday. This is a good Holy Week to be part of and to be celebrating and moving up to Good Friday, Easter Resurrection, for the forgiveness of our sins, and on it goes.
Amen. Amen. Well, what do you have for us this morning, Dr. Weiss?
Well, without giving away too much, my wife and I went to see Noah yesterday afternoon here in Edwardsville, and I've been getting questions from the students, you know, and I can't comment. I haven't seen it. I've seen some trailers. I heard a lot of dribblings. I read some reviews. Time Magazine had the guy out that advertised it, that did the PR for it, you know, and of course he said, well, we're keeping the spirit of the Bible together, and of course, to be quite frank, it was all about the box office money thing. So let me just tell you what they got right in the movie.
Oh, right.
They got the word Noah right. They got his wife's name right.
Mrs. Noah?
That's right. And he had three sons. They had an ark. They had an ark. They got that right. They had the water coming from the ground up and the rain coming down. They got that right. They had Noah naked for a short time drunk. They got that sort of right, partially right. And I'm trying to think. And I think they got the creation. They did a little bit of the creation event, 6 days, fairly accurate. So I would suspect about 2.5, maybe 3 minutes of a 2-hour and 18-minute movie, they got right. Yeah, that's it. Now, I mean, I don't want to give away too much, but, you know, some people have said to me, well, you know, I can't go see a movie like that because I've heard too many bad things about it. But I really think I talked to a DCE from a Catholic church I met out. I know this young man, and he was, I was out walking my dog with my wife yesterday late, and he was out there with his group. And he says, yeah, I've had a lot of people talk about it, but I can't comment. I haven't seen it. And to me, this is one of those things. I guess there's a few points. I realize there are some movies we don't need to go see because of their rating and so forth. This is PG-13. But when movies like this come along and they're a PG-13, and a lot of people have seen this, I've had some people in the parish see it that I'm serving, and they have questions. And so what this does for me is to say, let's go back into the Bible and let's read Genesis 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I mean, it's four chapters before he gets to the sitting tower of Babel in 11. And let's find out really what happened with Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. I don't want to give anything away, but the three sons and the adventures of the three sons are not even near what the Bible says. And the building of the ark is not even near what the Bible says. Go ahead.
If it were actually accurate, followed the biblical account, then you really wouldn't be giving anything away if we'd read it, right?
Exactly. That's a very good point. Yeah, Noah, this whole thing starts, you know, well, the movie doesn't, but Noah was about 600 years old when the flood of the waters came to the earth and so forth. And they finally got out of the ark when he was in about the 601st year. So about, they were out there for probably well over 350 days. I mean, the water subsided for about 100 after 150 days because it rained 40 days and 40 nights. Then, I mean, the word 40 is very important in here, obviously, because we also find this in the New Testament where Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. The numbers do mean things, but the waters subsided and they ended up sort of on the top of Mount Ararat after 150 days. Floating around in the water, but they didn't get out, it looks like, based on the scriptures, about another 150 days or so to get all of the animals out and then make sacrifices and so forth and thank God for bringing them through the waters in a safe way. And I think that people need to, what this says to me is they got to stick to the Bible. They need to go back to the inspired word that Moses has penned down here for us, especially when we start to get into some of these stories. There is a movie, Exodus, coming out later this year that I'm sure I'll go see. and to make sure, you know, not that they, the people who made this movie, I don't know if it's going to follow along, but God's covenant with Noah is very important. Of course, they don't do anything with that. Nothing with sacrifices, nothing about God blessing Noah and his sons and wives. And, you know, he quotes at the end of the movie, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, and so forth. Some people say this is against the environment. Well, I'm not so sure I would go that far. I would just simply say it's clearly against the Word of God. You know, I mean, it just basically shreds. They just rip out the pages that deal with Genesis 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, and just shred those completely. And so I think that people need to, if they go see the movie, read the story of Noah in 6 through 10 in Genesis, and then be able to give account of your faith, because this whole issue, which I think the final point here, why is this so important? Well, go to 1 Peter chapter 3, 21. And this is kind of like, I'm in my car actually heading to seminary, but I haven't stopped here. And 1 Peter 3, 21, just looking at it here very quickly, of course, it says here, for Christ suffered once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh and made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed, this is his descent into hell. We're moving to Good Friday, okay? Where he proclaimed to the spirits in prison because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which, and they had 120 days or so, according to the scriptures, to repent, and they did not. While the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the body, but its appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone to heaven and is at the right hand of God. So there is your connection from the Old Testament, New Testament, Noah, waters that saved Noah, and the holy baptism waters. Yesterday at St. James, where I'm doing this vacancy, we had the privilege of baptizing an adult and affirming his faith in Christ. And the people that were there, it was just like their chins kind of dropped. You know, they hadn't seen anything like this. But because we see a lot of babies, but not too many adults. And so I just want to make sure that we make the correct connection here as we move into Good Friday, that there is a connection between Noah, the flood, the waters, holy baptism, and to read 1 Peter chapter 3, 18 through 22.
Amen. You know, as we were talking about whether or not we should, you know, give a spoiler alert in talking about the movie, reminds me of a story from my wife and a friend when they were in high school. They were going to see the movie Titanic when it first released, and they were standing in line waiting to get in the theater, and other people who had seen the previous showing of the film were coming out. And as they were coming out, my wife's friend yelled, "Oh, don't tell us how it ends. Don't ruin it." They were going to see Titanic. Everybody knows how it ends.
Well, I'll tell you, I heard one lady come out and talk to her son, and she said, "Boy, that was really bad." but I think that when the Lord gets into what's happening here, and you get into how the whole Nephilim, I mean, of course, they're never mentioned. They have some bizarre things with, I don't want to say much more, but the people, quote-unquote, that helped Noah build the ark, I mean, they're not even people. They're not even human beings. I don't want to say any more, but you talk about license in a Hollywood movie. I don't even know that I would apply the word license to this, to go ahead and interpret. They did not interpret the scriptures. They destroyed them.
Well,
So it's basically one of those things where I'm hoping that people, they don't want to see the movie. Just read the story and know, and you'll know you'll get it right.
Well, and I think that's probably the reason behind all this. If you just take the story of Noah, and some people can do that, can take the scriptures and paint that picture very well with a film. But if you just take that, everybody knows how the story ends. So that seems kind of boring. That's not going to draw lots of crowds, is it? But if,
no, it's not going to draw lots of crowds.
Right.
You would, but because, yeah, everybody knows how it ends. Although I wonder if they really know that up through Noah, were people vegetarians or meat eaters? You know, and when was the first case where they said they could eat meat? And that was after the flood. And I think that you know, even Methuselah gets into this. I'm not sure how Methuselah gets into it, but but he even gets into this whole thing somehow, some way into this movie. And even though, yeah, of course, he's the grandfather of Noah, but it's just one of these things where, yeah, they know how the movie ends. People hear about the flood, and they hear about Ken Ham's building the Ark and his creation institute, their museum. And I'm thinking to myself, and the other side of the coin, one last point here, I can't say this without giving anything away here. They said, and they said, well, the animals are coming in pairs. That's not true either. Your listeners can take a look at Genesis chapter 7, verse 2. Genesis 7, verse 2. Seven pairs of clean and one pair of unclean. So they didn't even get that part right. I mean, not only have they done that, of course, a lot of people have misinterpreted what the scriptures are. I don't even want to say misread, perverted. But in Genesis 7, 2, it says, take with you seven pairs of all clean animals, the male and the female, and so forth, and birds and all that kind of stuff. And then you take one pair of unclean, you know, and they're going to have to eat something. But how they deal with all the animals on the ark, that's a whole other thing. I'll just tell you up front, they put them all to sleep. So so the stuff that they use to put the animals to sleep, for some strange reason, doesn't put them to sleep, even though we're all creatures of God. So it's just a typical Hollywood perversion of the scriptures. And Russell Crowe, who is Noah, he's more like a gladiator in Noah's clothes in that movie.
Well, it certainly got people talking about it. While it's certainly not accurate, and it makes a big mess of it. At least gets people talking about the movie or about the text. Hopefully, to some degree.
Well, I hope so. I hope that people are saying, well, but there's some good stuff coming out of this, Bob. People are reading and studying, you know, and I said, well, that's good. I'm glad. As long as they're reading, studying the scriptures, what the Bible, which the translation is saying, and not just going on what other people are saying and say, oh, yeah, I hear that's a terrible movie. Well, read the Bible and find out.
Right. Go back to the text. Go back to the source of truth. The truth isn't going to necessarily come out of Hollywood or any other place. So thanks so much, Dr. Weiss, for pointing us back to the truth. Always good to check in with you. We'll talk next Monday.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Coming up in a little bit, we'll study the Daily Lectionary with Pastor Dan Wing right here on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.